Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you all to another, I want to welcome you all to another episode of the Miracle Man Show, another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday. This is Tuesday, February 16th of 2021, Fat Tuesday, and so my hope is that you all got a chance to try your Punschke today, and since it's Fat Tuesday, I usually have two. I had my first one. It was a Holland Cream one. My other one I'm going to have after the show. I like having two on the day of and then one on, like, the other days around it. But since Fat Tuesday is the two of, the day of, it makes sense to have another one, don't you think? You know, that you have another one on the day of, you know what I mean? It's like the big one. It's the wazoo. Or whatever they say. Now, why is Fat Tuesday Fat Tuesday? Because Catholics and other groups who different groups starting with tomorrow, they go into Lent, and during Lent, those who celebrate it aren't supposed to eat sweets and different things like that. On Fridays, they're only supposed to eat fish. And different things like that. You may wonder, do I do Lent? No. I personally don't, but 40 days from now is Easter Sunday, which this year is April the 4th, and that's the day that we celebrate Jesus being risen from the grave, and so just like that moves, so does Fat Tuesday, and all the days that surround Easter and involve it, like Palm Sunday and the other different days that surround it. Of course, Punschkes are Polish. You may say, what are the calorie counts on those things? I've heard they're super high. I don't look. I just eat it. It's amazing. And hope you ventured out to get one, or were smart like me and got it yesterday. As in some parts of Michigan, they got a lot of snow, like 10 inches. More than what they needed is how I'm going to say it. I've always felt like the snow should be north of us. And not as much to our south. I always have. And I can't believe that places like Kentucky are about to get hit again with more ice and snow. Don't think they've done anything to ask for it at all. And down in Florida, it's still in the 70s. And I'm going to be going to Florida for a few days. Like just after St. Patrick's Day. And looking forward to that. And me, my helper were talking just before I got on the show, and we were discussing how there is a mall down there in Brandon, Florida. Just like straight east of the city of Tampa, along I-75, there's the small town called Brandon, Florida. It's called Westfield Brandon. Believe it or not, what they have in it, a 7-Eleven, where you can, the only 7-Eleven in America that's in a mall. And you can get, of course, that means you can get a Slurpee in the mall, an actual Slurpee, not the wannabe slushy from Annie Ann's. The actual Slurpee. Have I tried it yet? No. I went to a different mall in Tampa that had the Apple Store and the Cheesecake Factory in it. And I didn't like it as a bunch of the other malls I've been to. And Chick-fil-A was closed when it wasn't even a Sunday. What a crime, Deanna, right? That's a crime.
Definitely a crime.
Yep. Which, in my mind, that's almost bad enough that if I call that mall before I go down there and they're still doing that, that'll be one I won't be going to. But I'll be like, to Brandon I go. And I will say, though, I do wish they had beaches by Brandon. And I don't know why. To me, Brandon just sounds like a cool name for a city. Maybe they have a town next to it called Brandy. Brandy. There was actually at one point this couple that went to my church. And they had four kids. One was five, one was four, one was one, and one was like 6 months old. This was back in the like end of summer of 99. So now they would be like all in their 20s now. But believe it or not, husband's name, Brandon. Wife's name, Brandy. That sounds like something you see out in a movie, doesn't it? That's pretty rare. I'd say that's at best 1 in 100, wouldn't you? Would you say 1 in 100 at most? You would even say possibly 1 in a couple hundreds? I don't know why there's not a Brandy, Florida next to it. I feel like there should be. In fact, oh, just thinking about this, I think this is funny. I think maybe either one of the suburbs along the highway there, either to the north or the south along that highway there, one of them should be Brandon. I mean, one of them, either the north or south, should be Brandy. And then, of course, Brandon stays Brandon, of course. Maybe alphabetically, and if we do numerical and alphabetical, that means Brandy should be north of Brandon, I think. Yeah. And then you go to, and then, of course, you go west, you're back in Tampa. I just thought that was cool. That was a suburb I meant to go to last time. I passed it twice. No, once, but not exactly directly, because one of the times I got on 175 going the other way from I-4 instead of going south of it, which is the way that Brandon is. And mind you, it's the next exit south of his church, but he mentions other suburbs like Thomasassa and ones like that, but he never says Brandon. And so I've just thought, for whatever reason, that was always a cool name for a city. They have one in way up north in Manitoba, but I feel like I'd rather have the one in Florida. I've always heard it was a decent city, not too well-to-do, like kind of mid-grade kind of. Is that kind of what you've heard too, Zeanna? Is that Brandon's not necessarily too well-to-do, kind of mid-grade?
Yeah.
Well, it's like how, because some parts of Troy here in Michigan, I feel like are mid-grade. Other parts are like very well-to-do. I feel like Novi is more so than not just totally well-to-do.
Yeah.
That's why I like places like in Florida, like I said, Brandon. Like where it's a good mix. Like I said, they have, oh, and by the way, not only do they have the 7-Eleven in there, they have a Chick-fil-A, they have an Apple, and if you must, Cheesecake Factory. They might have a Cinnabon too. I don't know. You could go there and have food paradise. You know, they do. I did say they do have an Apple store in there, and believe it or not, they have one of the only Sears left. They have one of the only Sears left that are still operating, functioning. And so, I'm excited. Hope I get to go. Who knows? Maybe they have a Brandon that works there. Maybe he knows why it's called Brandon. Why the city is called Brandon. I'm curious myself. But like I said, it's in Florida, where when you have a day where it got done snowing like it has been, and it's been as cold as it's been, better to just picture yourself on a nice, sunny, sandy beach. Whether it be in Tampa, Daytona Beach, maybe you're not a Florida person. Maybe you're a California person. Maybe you're thinking Malibu, you know, La Jolla, which is, you know, San Diego area. Maybe you're Hawaii. Maybe you're a Myrtle Beach person. Or maybe you like the Great Lakes. Oh, wait a minute. Those are all closed and frozen because it's winter. Doggone it. I wish. I always say when you're cold out, when it's so cold out like this, then I'd like to say just picture yourself on a nice sunny beach with kids or without. Of course, I like having some you know, or at least a good amount, so you can hear them, of course. You know, hear the water, hear the waves. Of course, I can't wait for that. That being said, I don't know how shows are going to work that week. I want to do at least one. I don't think I can do Wednesday because that'll be traveling home day. Monday and Tuesday. I wish there was a way to, like, totally have Wi-Fi and do the show live from on the beach. Where you can hear the water. That'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? To be able to just hear the waves. Like, not too much, but you can kind of hear it faintly. You can kind of hear the water. We'll have to wait and see. I'll just have to wait and see. If all else fails, I will do one of the nights from my hotel room. Monday, and kind of let you know how things are going. But like I said, this will be in March. Okay. And so, just a reminder about that. Also coming up in a couple weeks, the wonderful Holy Spirit Conference at Living Word International Church, March 2nd to 5th. You can find out more information by going online to marktbarclay.com and finding information about the conference. I'd love to see you there. Powerful time with the anointing of God. And it promises to be a fantastic time. It truly promises to be a fantastic time. Amen. Because it's always a good time when God's in the house. I'm convinced of that. Very strongly. And so, another couple of things. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Once again, that is riversofmiracles.com with an I, not a Y. Riversofmiracles.com to find out information about our book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story about a God that my mother could not see, but she believed in. And we've experienced a lot of great miracles in my life over the years. And the book chronicles that. It chronicles that. The different miracles that I've seen over my years of life. And it's been an amazing thing to just watch God, to watch Jesus do a work on my body, to do a work in my life. The truth is, God's working on all of us. And I think of this song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the earth and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How lovely and patient he must be if he's still working on me. Now, my pastor has referred to that, but he refuses to sing from the pulpit of Living Word Church, or any church for that matter. And he jokes about it. He teases and says that if I sing, it would ruin, he says, quote unquote, if I sing, it'll ruin my whole ministry. It won't, obviously it wouldn't, but he likes to tease and say that. And I've said, you know, I tried to say, you know, come on, Pastor, please do it. You know, from like in church, and he's like, no. Who knows? Maybe someday he'll actually try and he'll actually do it right. Maybe he will. I've only heard him attempt one time from his pulpit to sing a song. Only one time. And maybe he's afraid. Maybe he's afraid to do it because maybe he thinks they'll shut off his mic. Do you think maybe that's what he's worried about? Having his mic cut? I don't know. If I was up there on that sound booth, I would make sure not to cut his mic. In fact, I want those streaming to be able to hear it. He does it. Well, if I see him somewhere, like if I see him at the mall next time or something, I'll just be like, Pastor, sing a song. Just to see. Who knows? But nonetheless, I think of that song, you know, he's still working on me. And he is. And as long as we live here on this earth, listeners, we have to realize we are still a work in progress. And that song is the truth. Though may be one of those songs that you might have heard on one of these Christian, you know, child worship albums, you know, cassettes or CDs. I know it was on at least two of my different ones that I listened to growing up when I was like 6 or 7. The truth is, God is with us. And sometimes we all need that reminder that God is still working on us. We're not perfect. And stop trying to make it sound like you're Mr., Ms., or Mrs. Perfect. When the truth is, Jesus is still working on us. And we can't exactly be perfect on earth. We can't. We can be as good as possible, but we can't be perfect on earth. That's just not possible. Okay. Also, one quick thing before we go on into worship and then get into the message for the night. I want to remind you tonight, I'm going to be doing this every night. I want to remind you to please go online. I want to remind you that you can go to PayPal, and then I have a PayPal now that you can sow seed into this great Miracle Man program. And all seed that you sow goes into this great ministry. And when you go to PayPal, in the search bar, you can type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that's Rivers, R-Y, as in yoga, R-Y-V-E-R-S, space, Shukla. Shukla is S-H-U-K-L-A. And sow seed as God leads you to. I'm not going to tell you what to give. And I'm not turning my broadcasts into fundraisers. Not going to do the whole thing of turning my broadcasts into fundraisers and telethons and radiothons and streamathons or whatever they call all the different athons they do nowadays. to raise money. I'm just not gonna do that. Okay. And so see does. God leads you to. And I'm gonna keep talking to you at times about giving, because I want you to see what God has to say about it. And when I do it, it's not about how much can I get you to sell. When I take time to talk to you about giving, it's about I want you blessed. As my pastor says, I'm not trying to get money from you. Of course, I'm not a pastor, but my prayer is that you get blessed and that you can prosper. Because I believe I strongly believe that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I firmly believe it, and you can't tell me any other way. Can't tell me any other way. And so now we are going to go into a couple of songs, and then we are going to get into the Word of the Lord. We're going to start with Psalm 91. I read it last night. I'm going to read it again. And when I do, I'm going to review with you about it. We're going to read a few other ones after that too, but there's things in Psalm 91 that I want you to have. And as to why Psalm 91 is so important and why it's not to be taken for granted. And so we're going to talk about it. So like I said, we're going to sing, I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sights above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth will grow strangely dim. Although my way, your thoughts are your ways, I will pursue. And though my ways, they're not all your ways, your ways I will will move up higher. I set my sight above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. The morrow and the well I waste are not your ways, your thoughts and ways I pursue. And I know your hand is upon me, and I know, Lord, you will see me through. Lord, I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth will grow strangely dim. I will move up higher, all my thoughts and my ways. I will move up higher. I set my sight above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth will grow strangely dim. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. In awe of his wonderful face and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, in awe of his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. cheerful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in your presence and on Calvary, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. The end of the age is upon us. Soon we'll hear the midnight cry. We'll be singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, when he splits the eastern sky. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in your presence. He was carried on Calvary, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. The end of the age is upon us. Soon we'll hear the midnight cry. We'll be singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, when he splits the eastern sky. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Your name is marvelous. Your name is wonderful. You are so amazing, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on our life. Great to be a Christian. It's great to serve you, Jesus. It's great to be a part of your kingdom. I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we enter into this time of word tonight, that all of these listeners from different places around the world, near and far, that these listeners will hear tonight. They will hear from you. They will receive from you what you desire for them to receive from you this evening. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you would just minister to every one of them. I pray that every need represented would be met. Every sickness would be healed. Every disease would be made whole, and that you would just minister to each and every one of us, whatever it is that we have need of tonight, and that you would just meet our need tonight. And Heavenly Father, I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program. I say that finances come into this program. I claim, Lord God, that increases in listenership come to this program. And most important, Jesus, I thank you for the huge harvest of souls coming in to the kingdom of God as a result of this great and wonderful radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Let's make our confession. We do this, to make this Bible confession, because the Bible says that we can have the fruit of our lips. So that's why we make confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalm 91. Amen. We're going to Psalm 91. And we're going to begin with verse 1. I'm going to read some other ones, but at the end of Psalm 91, I'm going to pause and we are going to discuss. Psalm 91 and why it is so important and why we should not take the Psalm 91 protection for granted. Because we should not be taking that Psalm 91 protection for granted. We shouldn't be. So as I said, we're going to Psalm 91. And there are two psalms a minister loves to, pastor loves to hear. I mean, now I just do a radio show, but I like to tease about this. And I like to say, you know, there are two psalms. You know, hopefully if you go to a church like mine, your pastor is smart enough to tell you guys, listeners, this. There are the two favorite sounds of a good pastor are pages turning and checks being ripped out of checkbooks. That's a funny one, don't you think? Yeah, that really is funny, isn't it? Pages turning and your Bible, and then of course checks being ripped out of checkbooks in the offering, because it means, you know, that he has more to do with it, like build buildings for the kingdom and all that, you know, and whatever. So, praise God. Now I'm there. And if you beat me, you beat me. If not, then, well, I gave you time to get there. I purposely went kind of slow going there, hoping, listeners, that some of you would beat me. Just try to be fair. All right. I'm in Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, or different versions will say, he who dwelleth in the secret place, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he will rest in the shadow of the Almighty God. I added the God part to that. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save me. Or you, depending on how you read this. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Nor will you fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. A thousand may fall at your side. 10,000 may fall at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm or evil shall befall you, and no disaster or plague will come nigh your dwelling. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will honor him with long life. With long life I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. All right. So what you see here in Psalm 91 is that God loves us so much that he wants to protect us as long as we dwell in him, as long as we trust him. We have to trust him in order for him to. If you're not living in faith, then it's not going to work for you as well. And living in the last days, this is a perilous day we live in. And it talks about how he will save you from the pestilences, from the plague that strikes at midday, from the other disasters. Part of that, of course, also requires wisdom. You should have discernment. Where we're living, obviously this has happened before, but you could go down to McDonald's to get a hamburger at lunchtime, and someone with a gun or a knife or something else may want to kill you. God forbid, not you and not yours, but just saying. Or he might witness some things, but they wouldn't hit you. And what you see here is God loves us so much that sometimes as you go through life, you know, God may tell you. You could be driving. God may say, you may hear, the voice of God may tell you, turn on this road, for example. And when you might say, turn on that road up there, you may get closer. Turn on this road up here. You could be at the light or whatever, and you might say, turn at this road now. And then you may turn, and then if you went straight, who knows, there could have been a crash right there that could have been fatal. And it will have been God trying to save you from it. And you can't take this Psalm 91 for granted. My pastor at my church, every service, either he prays himself over us at the end of the service, or if he's not there, it's played on video. No plague shall come nigh us. And he says, you know, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, you know, no terrorist, no sickness, no disease, no drugged or drunk driver, no rapist, no fire, no flood, no crash. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. And we're going to live in great peace and joy and be a powerful witness. And he prays that over us at the end of every service because he loves us. That's why he does that. And I think of one time where me and my mom are driving down I-75 back just over 20 years ago, about 21 years ago to be exact, like 21 years and a month thereabouts. I was supposed to go down for a doctor's appointment down there. And we're driving. The roads are snow covered, slippery. We're snow covered, slippery, icy, and we get near Flint, and this huge semi hits us, and we go spinning, and our vehicle gets pushed 18 inches somehow. And I was not hurt in the crash. I was very, 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 very surprised, however. And my mom, she was in a lot of pain, but no broken bones. And I remember being in the police car. I mean, like the ambulance type thing, going to McLaren Flint Hospital. And I remember me saying, my mother will live and not die. My mother will live and not die. My mother will live and not die. I believe that strongly. You know what? Next day, late at night, she comes home from the hospital. Mind you, she couldn't drive for about... It got to where she could drive about 2 weeks later. First, they tried to tell her, you know, like 6 weeks, but got to where within 2 weeks she could drive. And that was a great thing. And within about a month and a half after that, we had stories of two other serious car accidents with people from my church. And Psalm 91 protection was on them. These people should have died. They didn't die. So it happened. Though the accidents happened, they lived. But ultimately, you know, if God tells you something to do, and God tries to tell you, let's just say he says, pull that car over. That happened to someone I know of in my church years ago. Pull this car over now. And God said, and he's like, well, if I do, I'll be late to this important meeting. He pulls the car over just in time, a bad one. Had he not obeyed, he could have died and went to heaven that much sooner. Though he would have went to heaven, it would have been so much sooner. And but so he talks about in his wings, he will protect you. Says he will protect you from the pestilence in the midday. You know, I mean, from the plague at midnight. Midday, from the pestilence in the darkness. Doesn't say what the plague and pestilence are. Could be COVID, could be something else, could be you know, who knows what it could be. But the thing is we can't take it for granted. We have to trust in God. You can't just say, I know these verses, I know this chapter, but I don't believe a lick of it. That's not going to work. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his robes you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of night. And this fear thing, let me remind you of something that I have told you multiple times before. Faith and fear do not mix well together. If you are faithful, you are fear. If you are faithless, then you are fearful. And you don't want to be living in fear. You're just living in fear, and you're just living your whole life just in fear, hurting yourself. And then it says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Meaning whatever that thing may be, that may happen. There may be death all around, but it won't be you and not yours. A car crash may happen tonight on your street. Maybe. No, hopefully not on your street. But a car crash may happen in your city. Someone may or may not die, but it won't be you and it won't be yours in the name of Jesus. Because he said people may fall at your right hand or on your side, but it won't come near you. And it says you'll only see it. And it says if you make the Most High your dwelling, and it says if you make the Most High your dwelling. If. That means you serve Him. You give everything to Him. You trust in Him. You ask Him to guide you. You ask Him to lead you. That's how you can get this His canopy of protection on you. Let's go to 92 now. We'll read like two more. Psalm 92. Verse 1. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hand. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound are your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." 93. The Lord reigns. He is clothed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty, and he is armed with strength. The word is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house days, O Lord. We'll look at the first couple, like the first five or six of 94, and then we will talk about it. O Lord, the God who avenges, O God who avenges, shine forth, rise up, O judge of the earth, pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long will the wicked, O Lord, how long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, O Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the alien. They murder the fatherless. They say, "The Lord does not see. The God of Jacob pays no heed." Take heed, you senseless ones, one of the people. And he says, "You fools, when will you become wise? Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches man lack knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man that you teach from your law. And you grant him relief from days of trouble. Till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness. And all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, "My foot is slipping," your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your constellation brought joy to my soul. Can a corrupt throne be aligned with you, all that brings and mighty to it? Decrees, they band together against the righteous, and they condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my fortress, and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins, and he will destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. All right, so about the rest of them, in Psalm 92, it talks about basically giving praise and thanks to the Lord, and it talks about something that I think is cool, you know, pretty awesome. It talks about how we sing of his love in the morning and of his thankfulness. His faithfulness at night. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do one in the morning, one at night, by any means. But it, nonetheless, it's cool. Cool. And I like to point out the different songs where it talks about worship in that and how it relates to the book of Psalms, so we can find the roots of some of these songs that we have sang over the years and the ones that we sing now, like in our churches. And I just think it's cool when we can say, you know, I know exactly what psalm this song is for. If one of the songs you're singing has parts of it that are based on a certain psalm, like the one we read tonight, where the song that talks about, you know, how we'll sing of his love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. Psalm 92. And also, let's talk about this idea that God is, you know, that the Lord, you know, he makes the anxiety, the anxious, to not be anxious. And he gives them joy instead. And those people who are anxious, there can be different reasons why they are anxious. We may not always know why, but God wants to help those who are anxious. And whatever it is that they may be anxious about. And God tells us to be anxious for anything, that being anxious will not help. I mean, certainly that's why it says be anxious for nothing. Because like I said, anxiety will not help you. You just spend your time being anxious about whatever it is you're being anxious about. Oh, I'm anxious about this test. I'm anxious about, you know, this drive. I'm anxious about you know, this thing. I'm scared of this thing. I'm scared of, you know, anxious about that thing. Well, maybe you had an experience, something maybe happened in your life, you know, that might have caused it. But you put your hope in God. And if you trust in God, you'll realize, you know, I don't have to be anxious anymore. I can trust in Him. And even then, you feel anxious, rather than just sit there and be anxious and shake and do some of the things, you know, that anxious people do when they're feeling anxious, nervous, pray. And you want to know one time, one of the big things that makes me one of the biggest things that makes me the most anxious, when I hear that an IV will be going into my arm. Does that kind of trigger some anxiety with you, Zeanna?
Oh, yeah, I don't like needles.
Would you say that's one of the things that makes you the most anxious, that everything would be possibly the IV is up there?
Yeah, probably.
Now the blood draw is very different. I can handle that just fine. Are you the same way?
Yeah.
Okay. But the minute you hear the I word.
Yep.
Yeah. Try IV. Intravenous. Just try I. We're going to put an I in your arm. And you react the same way, don't you? And it's like, because you may know, you know, the last time they tried to do one to me, four different times they had to try it to get it to work. Four. Because first three, you know, there was an issue with them. One of them was a vein, and another one was a vein. The third one was something else. And note, it's after they tell you multiple hours not to drink. They tell you not to drink until like, you know, 4 or 5 hours before the surgery, or before they do the whatever the thing that requires the IV in the first place. Which tells me, if you're having these problems, that they need to think about how they're doing it. Because when you've had these problems, it was exactly when you were told not to drink within a certain amount of hours before.
Yep.
Which tells you that it's time for them to completely rethink that, don't you think?
Probably. It might help.
Because I feel like even if it's surgery, if it comes to that, maybe they just have you be there a couple more hours early so you can drink up to like an hour before the IV goes in.
Right.
Because that way it can save you from unnecessary pokes. But then, you know, whatever it is you might be anxious of, maybe it's that IV, maybe it's that test, maybe it's the person you got to meet. God doesn't want you to be all anxious. Some people are just anxious to be anxious, maybe, and they don't know why they're so anxious. But God wants to help you. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word. I pray that we would get this word in our heart. I pray, Lord Jesus, for those who deal with anxiety and depression. My heart goes out to them. For whether they're dealing with either anxiety or things related to that, thank you that we would have a sound mind and that we would be at peace. And Lord God, I thank you for this great word tonight. And we thank you for your protection over us, for the Psalm 91 protection that we have because of you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that we would never take it for granted. May we never take it for granted, and may we be led by you, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord God, that all this word, that we would just put it to great use as we go through our lives. In Jesus' matchless name. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.